special review. We were invited by my buddy Rhino to join his Zoomcast. He's doing, you know, video chats with a whole bunch of different people and putting it up on YouTube. So he invited Todd and I for, I believe, what ended up being his fourth Zoomcast. He's got a couple since then even. So we did this on Monday. Today is Wednesday. And we did a lot of topics we would have done anyway or have already discussed on our show. So I asked him, I said, hey, can we use the audio for the pod this week? He said, yeah, sure, go ahead. So that's what this is. It's just the audio from the Zoomcast. I have the link for Rhino's YouTube site in the description here. So check it out, give it a listen, subscribe, all that stuff. But yeah, here is the audio from this week's podcast of the Bro Pod. It is the Zoomcast with Todd, myself, and Rhino. So enjoy.
All right, guys, here we go. Edition number 4 of Rambo and Rhino Zoomcast. Tonight, the Bro Pod, the brothers Hoffman, are the guests. Scott on my top left, Todd in the center on the bottom. We're going to talk about a numerous amount of things, from what we're doing, the coronavirus, what we're binging on, NBA, NFL, our biggest and our losses in gambling, the Mount Rushmore of snacks, and our master's meal. And Hoffman said, Scott said he doesn't care much about the master. So we'll pretend like it's your death row meal. What's your last meal? What was your last meal? What would you pile it up on? So anyway, start with the coronavirus. It's affected everybody in some form or fashion, whether it's work, school, your kids, all kind of things, sports especially. So what have you been doing to fill the sports void from March Madness, NBA playoffs, Masters, Olympics, everything, football that's coming up? Scott, I'll go with you first. What have you been binging on?
Yeah, so I first wanted to comment on the fact that I hate how I see on social media all these people are like, I finished Netflix. What am I going to do now? It's like, I'm still working. I don't know. I mean, I still got to do stuff during the day. So my schedule hadn't changed that much. Now, obviously, as you mentioned, the sports, you know, world is kind of on pause. You know, I was – lucky enough to catch that horse competition yesterday. That was about the dumbest thing I've seen on ESPN.
Were you lucky?
But, yeah, I was lucky to see that. But no, I wasn't lucky at all. But no, I mean, I my life really hasn't changed that much, other than the fact that I'm at home a lot. The only thing I've really binged in terms of like Netflix or whatever is I started watching Schitt's Creek, which is a pretty solid show. That I missed the first time around. So I found that to fill a bit of a time gap. But again, otherwise for me, it's life in general. I mean, the sports, the missing sports hurts a little bit, but you know, you fill it with other stuff. I'm doing stuff like this, you know, the Bro Pod's first live interview with a celebrity like you, Rhino.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad I could be your first. Ty, what are you doing? I know Scott said you got a couple kids, so I'm sure that's thrown a wrench into maybe your plans.
Yeah, so we have two girls, so that's I mean, I sort of like Scott, I don't have a ton of free time. And like, honestly, so I'm a big Blazers fan, so that's usually what I'm watching on NBA, and I'm fully into NBA normally. But right now, I mean, that doesn't start till like 10 o'clock I'm on the East Coast. So that doesn't start till like 10 o'clock most of the time anyway. So that, I mean, it's a void for sure, not having that. And it's more like next day sort of highlights and stuff that I'm missing out on. But yeah, our days are pretty full because the girls are at home. So we're trying to help them with school and do work. So it's more just like an hour or two at night where I'm trying to watch stuff. We added Hulu to our streaming services, so I've been watching. What have we been watching? Now it's totally, I'm blanking. I'm watching Westworld, which is not on Hulu, but call it if you have HBO. I've been watching a lot of Fargo. I don't know if you guys have seen Fargo. I saw the first two seasons, but I didn't watch the third.
Yeah,
but that show is really, really good. Yeah. So I've been watching the third season of that, and then I started Seinfeld season 3 because I figured the first two seasons aren't really worth watching. Season 3 is still a little iffy.
Yeah.
But I've been watching some Seinfeld, and we're rewatching Scrubs. So I've been watching some Scrubs. It's just surprisingly good from the jump. It's better than most shows. You watch those old shows and you're like, holy shit, they made 22 episodes of this. Like, there's a lot of content. It's pretty decent for a show that has that much stuff.
Well, we watched The Blacklist, which I hadn't seen before, which is pretty entertaining. Of course, I watched Tiger King just to see what the hype was about.
Oh, yeah. Definitely watched Tiger King.
And that's a whole different world. Scott, you have not?
I have not seen that yet.
I have kind of mixed feelings about it. Like, I'm just, yeah, it totally, like you said, Rhino, it's like, this is a whole different world. Like, I don't really want to know that exists, to be honest with you. All
those people are like, but then again, you want to see what else is going on. I mean, it's kind of how it started. It's like, these people are out of this world, and I got to see what they're going to do this next episode. So I watched all 7 in like a 12-hour span, and it was just like, I mean, it's fascinating. And like I said on the one I did this morning, the thing about it is it's the only thing I've seen that transcends from rich and poor and white and black. And like, even like celebrities are tweeting about this, you know, like celebrities and athletes and, you know, and I think that's got a lot to do with no sports, because these basketball guys who would normally be traveling or playing, but they're sitting there watching Netflix, and it's kind of just a phenomenon of Joe Exotic, weird guy who just has tigers. I don't know. It's captivated the Twitter world, I guess, the social media.
Yeah, I guess my mixed feelings were it didn't make me feel like good about anything. It definitely captures your attention, but I was like, God, all these people are horrible. And not horrible like in some shows where there's like a bad guy that you're sort of rooting for. You're just kind of like, God, all these people suck. But yeah, you are interested. Like, what are they going to do next? What else is going on? It definitely captivates you. But
Hoffman, you get 6 hours Sunday morning. Check it out.
Okay. I'll be sure to do that.
All right. So Netflix and that's taking our time. But I guess all I've been doing with this thing is just kind of being thought-provoking and conversation about sports since we don't have it. So Scott jumped in on my first pod and trashed my NBA team, but it's kind of like your favorite. You say you're a Trailblazers fan, so I'm figuring you probably have one of those guys or two. You're all-time five that you would pick your favorite. Like, not the best, because if we did best, we'd probably all have the same guys. But
similar list, yeah.
Yeah, who would you put in there? And you can go off the grid wherever you want. And one guy off the bench. So, Todd, I'll start with you. Your top five NBA guys that you've seen. I don't want the Wilt Chamberlains and the Bill Russells and the
people. Gotcha.
Guys you've seen plus one off the bench and shoot it.
So we're going by positions.
I said the first kind of, but LeBron's 6'9" point guard. James Harden.
Yeah. He can play wherever.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But I got to have at least a couple bigger dudes and some smaller guys.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I mean, I'm probably going to pick an all-Blazer team just because I'm not going to give respect to anybody else.
Brandon Roy. Go ahead.
Bonzi Wells.
Yeah, we got Damian Lillard. Bonzi Wells. Guard.
Please have Bonzi Wells come off the bench. All right, go ahead. Dame Lillard.
No Bonzi Wells.
The Dame.
We will have Roy.
Of course you'll have
Roy. As the shooting guard.
Sure.
Now, small forward is going to be a little thin for – I mean, I guess
– You got Drexler, right?
I mean, I guess we could put Drexler in there. I think technically he was a 2-guard, but he can be our wing. And then let's see, power forward. I'll probably bring LaMarcus back.
Wow.
And then just for fun, I should probably pick Nurk as my center, but I kind of want to bring Joel Prisbilla back, the vanilla gorilla, just because he's a fun guy to watch.
I thought I was going to get a Kevin Duckworth or somebody out of this.
That'd be amazing.
I mean, that's a little before my time. But okay.
Who's your shooter off the bench?
Yeah. Who's your point maker?
I mean, this guy's super inconsistent, but I think I'm going to bring Outlaw. Travis Outlaw.
Travis Outlaw. What is wrong with you?
I love Travis Outlaw.
Hey, if you got him in your room, you got to put him on your team.
My friend got me that. But, yeah, he was super, obviously super streaky. And after he left the Blazers, he was out of the league in a year or two. But I loved Outlaw because he would – when he got hot, he was definitely one of those sort of like streaky guys.
This guy's no holds barred, he would be Mr. Fourth Quarter. Straight trailblazers. Nobody gets anything. So,
no, I'm not giving you anybody else.
All right, Holman, give me yours. I'm interested to see if this is going to be five Lakers or six Lakers.
Well, you know what the backcourt's going to be. We got Magic running the point, and we got Kobe as your shooting guard. I mean,
ooh, you should pick somebody good for your shooting guard.
Come on. Hey, too soon.
Yeah.
I never say too soon, but come on. Pick somebody good. Just one of the top six greatest players of all time. That's another conversation for another day that Todd and I will vehemently disagree on. Anyway, so we got Magic around the point. We got Kobe at the two. We got the captain. We got Kareem in the center.
You see Kareem?
Kareem. Yeah.
Did you see Kareem?
Oh, did I see him? I mean, I saw him play. I didn't see him in person.
No, I mean
I've seen him in person, not play, but no, I've not met him.
I didn't know how old you were. You must have caught him near the end.
Yeah, he was there till 88. I mean, I was I was in elementary school cheering for my Lakers. What? Don't shake your head at me. Anyway,
you never watched a Kareem.
I've been a Lakers fan since I was 5 years old. What are you talking about? And I got DVDs. I can watch the classics. I got NBA TV. Anyway,
fair.
Can we mute Todd? Anyway, so we got Kobe and Magic. We got Kareem in the middle. Oh man, who do I have on the wings? I'm gonna go off script here, just because I respect the man. He's too good not to. I got Bird. I got Bird as one of my forwards down low. Incredible passer, one of the greatest shooters of all time, arguably the greatest shooter of all time. And you know, I've watched that Lakers Celtics documentary so many times. I'm like, man, you have to respect Bird in this game. And I know Lakers fans everywhere rolling over in their graves right now that I put Bird on the team with all these Lakers. But and then I guess I put Worthy on the other block.
You're not going to put Karl Malone, former Laker Karl Malone, in your
does not count. The 2003 season should be put in the toilet and flushed. The 2003-04.
No Lamar Odom.
I haven't said my bench player yet now.
Go ahead.
Okay.
And then coming off the bench – I'll put Lamar at the bench. That he's always going to bring candy to the game. He's going to bring a Kardashian or three. So he's good for the entertainment value.
My girlfriend just gave you a thumbs up. She likes the reality Lamar, not necessarily the triple double Lamar. So all right,
reality Lamar.
I'll go back with mine, and I think if I remember correctly, I think it was Magic and Jordan, and I put LeBron on there just because he could play. He's kind of like Magic where he could play all five because there's no big – I mean, he couldn't play five against Shaq, but he could probably play five in today's game because there's no centers. And then, of course, Shaq would be my center just because he was
– He was dominant.
He was unstoppable to a certain degree, and I had Dirk off the bench. I just like to have a shooter to give me some scoring.
Hey, who was your fifth starter?
Yeah, LeBron.
You said Magic.
Magic, Jordan, LeBron.
Jordan, LeBron.
Shaq.
Dirk. Shaq.
Who was the Shaq? Who was the fourth guy?
Who's your power forward
I probably Rodman. That's what I said. Oh, I don't need those other. I don't need him to score or do anything.
Because
I got three guys who can shoot and handle the ball. I got Shaq who can handle down low. Rodman, all I need to do is get 20 rebounds and then
Rodman
in the nuts.
I thought you said Robin, and I was like Robin Lopez.
Robin Lopez.
I could probably win with Robin Lopez. I think.
Well, right. I think you definitely have the most stacked team. I mean, ours were a little bit of Homer picks, but yeah, my team would definitely come
in
last place.
I live in Columbia, South Carolina. There is no Homers. And who I got? Mike Dunleavy Sr.? I mean, Bobby Crimmins, that's all I got from this home.
Well, you could pick Ray Allen or
KG.
KG, they both went to school in South Carolina
Ray Allen was like 30 minutes down the road. KG was, you know, on up the road, but –
Jermaine O'Neal was from the Midlands.
There's Mo Claire, And I thought his career was over. He set 2 years with the Blazers. He played with the Blazers, right?
Yeah, he did.
And then he went to the Pacers and and was an all-star for several years. So.
Yeah, he was sort of behind. He was too deep in the rotation for the Blazers.
But he was too young.
It was a bad sort of like fit.
Bad fit.
Yeah. Just time-wise.
All right, that's a pretty good list. I guess everybody's got their own. What are you guys' chances if you was to put a percentage on us seeing the NBA playoffs this year? I know they're trying, but I think that's a positive to get the fans in a positive light. But in your heart of hearts, that and do you see there being football this year? And we can elaborate after you say yes or no. Scott, do you think your NBA playoffs will happen?
So I did see that. I didn't read the article, but I saw that Adam Silver came out today and said he's putting together a 25-day plan or something like that. I think it's 75-25 that it's going to happen. It may be that Las Vegas situation they talked about where they put everybody in a big hotel, a convention center or whatever, and they play with no fans. I just think there's too much at stake to not finish the season. If we'd only played 20 games, they, you know, and this had happened, I think they would have canceled the season. But we were, 60, 65 games in. So I think they'll come back.
Only 20 games out.
Well, 20 games left. Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Ish.
I give it a 75% chance. And then just real quick, in terms of college football and NFL, 98% chance that both of those leagues run. I think there's no way that this country would survive, especially you, Rhino, and all your friends, without some football being played this fall. So those are my odds.
Todd? Say, Todd, I'll follow up after you.
I'd say I'm going to be more pessimistic on both. I'll give the NBA like a 33% chance. I listened to Simmons today talking about that sort of like quarantine hotel thing where they're putting all the players in there,
yeah,
plus the staff or whatever. And then he's like, you know, could we isolate, you know, if you make it all the way through, could you live for a couple months by yourself? Which maybe, I mean, it's only going to be 25 people that have to deal with that. The other, whatever, 150
sure. Everybody else goes
on their merry way in a shorter period of time. I mean, I guess nobody knows. Like we were talking to some neighbors today and they're like, one of the guy works at the country club down the road and he's like, yeah, we might open late. He was talking about the pool. He's like, maybe July or August. He's like, we'll open it if we can, just to get some time, because there'd be the pent up sort of demand to want to be outside. So I think there'll be the similar thing for the NBA. It'll just be interesting. They were saying the trainers wanted like a month of like getting back into shape, sort of practice and that stuff. And there's like, not going to get a month. But it, you know, what's the quality? If they have like, are they going to play 2 weeks of regular season games to sort of like get back into it? 3 or 4 games? Like how rusty are these dudes going to be? I know some of them won't miss a beat. Like LeBron will be good to go. People like Damian Lillard, but then like the lazy dudes be a little like the guys that are usually a little pudgy at the start of the season. Will still
well, that's
be that
my thing too. With as long as the NBA playoff run, are you going to do 16 teams? I mean, you're still talking about the potential of, you know, even if it's a five game series, you're talking about five, you're talking about 20 games and 20 games. And then maybe you go to next round, you only go 5 again because it's, but you're still talking about 20 and 10, 30 and 30. And then the finals.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll do like best of 3 first round, if they even have that, or maybe they'll bring it down to 12 teams. But yeah, like maybe a best of 3 or best of 5 for the first couple of rounds,
they take 2 days off in between the travel days. Are they going to play like back to back?
Yeah, that's true.
One
you
off
could just have a day off. You could just, I mean, especially for those first rounds, if you're all in the same place, you could play every other day because you're just resting. You don't need travel time, which actually would be kind of nice. Like,
oh, it would be great.
Some of those games where it's like, I gotta wait like 3 days for the next game. That's super annoying if you care about a series.
And it's stupid.
The early rounds are better because they're more full, but like some of those later ones, it just gets annoying waiting.
Well, you're talking about Boston and in Indiana, which is an hour flight or whatever it is for them, and they're still taking 2 days off. I mean, they're there before midnight. They could acclimate, practice, and play, but they take 3 days off. And I guess that's a TV thing too, because you're trying to get Boston and Milwaukee and LA and LA and Houston all on that 8 o'clock, 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to have the early game and the late game if you can.
Yeah, I think there'll be some noons and threes, and I mean, just to get it in.
True.
Why not?
My biggest thing is
if the whole country's quarantined, you could basically run it any time of the day, which could be nice to have NBA on at like 2 p.m. or something.
Yeah, because nobody's working, like we talked about the first.
Well, I mean, everybody's working from home, so they can still
watch it. Yeah, they can sit there and watch it. Yeah, I understand.
But my biggest thing is, and somebody brought this point up, and I don't remember who it was. It was on Fox Sports, but like, what if Harden isn't, say, Harden isn't in shape, and you rush him out there, and he tears a hamstring all the way, you know, off the bone, and tears an ACL, and misses, or LeBron, or AD, or Freak, or anybody, because they're not. And like you said, most of those guys are probably working hard as they ever work right now.
Yeah, it's more just getting them to the game shape, just, you know, having that, like, familiarity with your team and just being getting used to the banging and that, like, I'm sure none of them are like going to be super out of shape. It's just like they'll be putting up shots, but, you know, playing through contact, getting to the rim, that kind of stuff is, and then they have trainers that they can do that with too, but it's not the same as like you say, playing against Giannis or like Gobert, who could give you COVID-19.
I
wouldn't play against Gobert.
I mean, at this point, that's worse than playing against Magic in 91. I mean, this is one of this is a tough call. Do you box out Rudy Gobert? I mean, Donovan Mitchell didn't even want to play.
Donovan Mitchell wouldn't. Yeah, exactly.
So my thing with the college football, or me and Scott talked before you got on here, is like, in my opinion, from my perspective, there's guys around here who have signed to play D1 football at schools around here, South Carolina, Clemson, Virginia Tech. Yeah. Well, they haven't been in school, lifted weights, ran any organized thing since, you know, March. And I know they're probably doing stuff at home with their, you know, their friends or their dads or whatever, but it's not contact. It's not Oklahoma drill, or it's not running sprints, or it's not running Tiger Trails, because they don't have access to any of this stuff. So you're taking a kid who hadn't played in a while. He's going to be a come-in freshman. And Clemson, I'm sure, probably has 3, 4, 5 guys they plan on using this year as freshmen in their, you know, starting 22 depth chart. They haven't done anything physical, and I wonder what that's going to what effect that'll have. And like I said in the previous one, Trevor Lawrence is probably ready to roll. He rolled out, give him 2 days, he's ready to shoot dimes 40 yards, and T. Higgins and those skill position guys. But what about the fat guys who's been eating Little Debbie's for 6 weeks? They're probably not doing much to be ready to – and football in the South starts 95 degrees, 100% humidity. Yeah,
I wonder if they're doing, like, Zoom practices where they're having guys, like, just out there, you know, doing footwork drills and hitting stuff.
There has to be organization.
I'm sure there are, but like you were talking about, like the high school guys, like, do they have that connection yet? You know, you've committed to Clemson, or
if you didn't graduate in January, you don't. I mean, a lot of these guys graduate January, enroll in January. They're probably at Clemson or South Carolina or Virginia Tech. But the ones who's going to graduate in June, they're still considered high school seniors.
Yeah, they can't.
They can't have
that communication.
Have done that,
yeah.
But are they, like, I guess they, it's easy enough to sort of catch up with them in June, but yeah, it will be a weird sort of restart.
I think the NFL, there's so much money involved that if they have to rent something, even if it's not with fans, even though that's a lot of money, tickets, but that money, that TV contract with Fox, ESPN, CBS, NBC, Monday night, Sunday night, NFL Red Zone, all of that. They almost got to find a way to do it. I don't know where or how. And I don't know how you would.
I'm more optimistic on football. The only thing I could see keeping that from happening is if there's like a second wave when fall comes, like
second outbreak,
of COVID sort of like peaking again, then I think it, you know, similar to now where they shut down the NBA, if like we start getting whatever 100,000 cases a day, or before that, hopefully. I think they'll shut down those public events, even, I don't know, if everyone's in quarantine. I mean, well, I'm not hoping for that to happen, obviously.
Well, let's say July 4th, it happens, cuts off, we're clear, we only got 0.0002%, and everything's going forward. What's the first thing you're doing? Scott, given the chance, you leave the house, you can do whatever you want to do. I mean,
Oh, man.
your boss says you work through this whole thing, I'm gonna give you a week off. You go wherever you want, do whatever you want.
Well, come on, you're setting me up. You know what I'm doing. If that's the case, we're going to Vegas. But which is a bad idea, by the way. But that'd be the first place I go.
Place to spend your stimulus money.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, exactly. But I mean, the problem is Vegas shut down right now too, which is terrifying. I've seen videos of it. Kind of makes me weep a little bit. But yeah. I mean, the reality is, look, we're shelter in place. We're staying at home. Obviously, I'm working from home. I go out and run every day, but I still go and get groceries if I need to. I went to Lowe's last weekend. I shouldn't have, but I really need to get something. So, I mean, if I really need to get something, I do it. I'm not a casual shopper. I'm not a casual day tripper. So it's not really preventing me from doing a lot of that stuff that I think a lot of other people are really feeling the pinch. So,
all right, Hoffman's going to grocery shopping in the Lowe's. Todd, what you doing, man? He's just going to go to Publix and get a sub or whatever and come on back to the house.
I wish we had Publix in Denver. Oh, man, I miss Publix. Yeah.
I mean, we go to the beach with my dad every 4th of July, so I'm hoping we can do that again, and that's probably what we'll be doing if we're allowed to. But, yeah, I just think going out, I'd like to – my kids are like – they keep asking me, like, when coronavirus is over, can we go to the ice cream factory or can we go to this place? Like, there's a place in Pennsylvania that's not too far from us that has like an ice cream factory. And we've been there a couple of times. They're already asking to go there.
So. Or Hershey Park. Isn't that what it's called?
Oh, yeah. We could go to Hershey Park.
Yeah, Hershey Park.
Your kids are already playing. Just get outside.
Your kids are playing your coronavirus escape already. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Scott,
we're going to hit every ice cream.
He's got Vegas in the back. Bottom corner, just in case.
I mean, I forgot about that. I'll probably go out to dinner. Like, I'll probably go out to a restaurant, sit down, and have somebody serve me a meal. All I've got is takeout and delivery. And
it's not the same, man. We do it a lot, but it's not the same as just sitting down and cutting on a steak and have a guy fill your tea glass up and.
Exactly.
Or the Mexican waiter just keep bringing you chips and chips and chips and chips. It's not the same.
It's the best part. It's
delicious.
All right. Well, speaking of that, and Todd, I don't know your background on this, but I'm going to ask Scott, and you can chime in because I'm sure that you got some story to this. Biggest win, biggest loss, where are you at? Whether it's sports gambling, table games, poker. I'm assuming Scott's probably poker, but Scott, you can lead it off because I know you got some, and I don't know if you remember them or maybe you do, but
give me your best. I'm not going to talk about my biggest loss because gamblers don't lose. But I can tell you about the biggest win was actually at Cherokee Casino in North Carolina. This was 7-8 years ago. I was playing a table game called Mississippi Stud, and I hit quad queens for $6,000. Now, before I left that table, I gave about $2,500 of it back, but I still walked with 7 purple chips, which is $3,500. And I got a picture of it somewhere on my phone. That was a good night. Now, the problem
that's
is
your
that
phone
was
background.
That's not my phone background, but good idea. The problem is that was early.
Your wife
in my stud
has been
career.
Displaced by purple chips.
No, she was never my background. What are you talking about? But no, since that time in my years of playing stud, I'm down big on that game overall. It's kind of a, it's the curse that bit me, and so I've been trying to get the win rate a little higher on that. I do fine on poker. I do fine on blackjack, most other games, but Mississippi Stud is, she's a seductress, and I've definitely lost a lot of money trying to play that stupid game. But anyway, that's my biggest win. I don't know. What's a loss? What's a gambling loss? I'm not familiar with that.
Good point.
That's a novel concept, but I'm.
Well, Todd, do you have a win? I won't ask you about your loss.
I'm not really a gambler. I gambled some when I lived in Seattle at some of the local Native American casinos. But I'm certainly not as risky, or I don't put in as much as Scott is. So I probably won like $200 one time playing craps, but I'm playing with like $20 to $40. So I'm a low stakes, low risk, low reward gambler for sure.
I tell you the only good story I have, and I probably got hundreds or maybe thousands of stories, and it's ones that Todd won't mention either. So We don't talk about those, but I flew to Atlantic City one night, and a guy called me when I walked up to the roulette wheel, and he said, bet 22. That's going to hit. I always bet 22. And in a matter of three rolls, I hit 22 twice and won $700. And I was like, this guy owned something. And it just, it was dumb luck.
Rain Man, yeah.
But they just, they're all push like the little chips. Yeah, so they just like stack, like Greg Raymer at the World Series. It was like, just, and I was like, what am I going to do with these? He's like, what do you want to do? I was like, I want them black chips. Give me seven. And it was like 700 and whatever it was, $60. And I was like, this is great. But I've had some long days, long nights. The last time I went to Vegas, I played until I flew out of there. And I love it, just doing it. I mean, I don't think it's so much trying to win or lose. I think it's just the
– no, it's the experience.
Playing the game. I just like playing the game. So.
And yeah. And I'll tell you, Rhino, I still have a reservation for a flight and a hotel for this summer for the series, assuming it still goes off. Late June, I've wanted to play for many years, and this year I'm actually – I got two events on the calendar. I'm going to, again, assuming everything goes according to plan, I'm going to
play the main event or
No. I'm not a baller that much.
I've said the same thing, that I just wanted to play a $1,500 horse, $2,500 horse, because I love playing mixed games. I love stud, and I like Omaha. Yeah. But and the thing is, most of those are limit, so you get a lot more action than one hand. You go all in, and boom, a guy backdoors you with a flush. So, mm-hmm. And I've said the same thing, and a buddy of mine went last year, and we all staked, I don't know, 30% of it. Yeah. And he was sending pictures. He won a hand, lost a hand. Anyway, he flopped trip nines. And I think a guy flopped the top pair was a jack. Anyway, He flopped trip nines on the board. They got it in. And the guy rivered what ended up being jacks over nines, full house. Gotcha. And You know, we was all like, you know, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, man, it's $8 million. I got 3% of the action. I'm breaking it down. I'm like, even if he wins, like, even if he makes final table, I'm good or whatever.
Yeah.
And I started minimizing myself. I was like, look, man, I gave the dude $300 or whatever it is. I'll take $25,000. I'll take $10,000. I'll take $5,000. And then
you did the math well too early. That's, yeah, I did. That's a gambler fallacy.
He sent it. We had a group text, and he sent the picture with a guy with the jacks, and he has the nines. And it was like, I guess it started at noon, and it was like 4:30. The dream was over in like 4.5 hours. He made one break, I think, or something. Man, it was like
so he played the main. He played the main.
He played the main because it was the 50th year, I think. So he was anticipating it being like
it was
crazy $10 million or something for first. And you know, he always wanted to play. It was one of the bucket list things. So he put it in. But I'd like to play.
I was asking Scott, have you already paid an entry fee for that thing?
No. You do it the day.
You just show up
2 days.
Show up with a wad of cash and throw it on the table.
Pretty much.
And that's how that works. You get a ticket like Publix that says your number is 621.
Here are my purple chips.
All right.
Yeah, here are my purple chips. That's
right. Well, I will move forward to snacks since we all
food chat. We call it food chat on the pod.
I know that Scott's a runner, but he still likes to snack. So your Mount Rushmore, your top four, you only get four, whether it's cakes, cookies, candy bars, or candy, whatever it is. What's your top four? Todd, I'll go with you first. What's your top four?
Your Mount Rushmore, man, you put me on the spot. Let's see, top four snacks. Well, Mount Rushmore. Let's see, my George Washington. No, So since we've been quarantined, my wife found a recipe for soft pretzels. So I baked some of those 2 days in a row, actually. They were quite good. So I'm going to put soft pretzels on there because I love pretzels and I'd like soft pretzels even more. Okay. So we got that. I'm going to go for cookie. I'm going to do an oatmeal chocolate chip. I really like the – it's not really healthier, but I like the texture of the oatmeal.
All right. I'm
interested. Let me see. What else are we going to do for snacks?
Ice cream.
This one's sort of a seasonal one, but I really like chocolate and peppermint. So I'm going to have some chocolate. Well, we'll go back to the pretzels. I'll have the pretzel thins that are dipped in chocolate and have peppermint candy on the outside, which I really enjoy. It's sort of a seasonal snack, but it's going to make my Mount Rushmore.
Those are good.
And then let's see, what's my last snack?
Any candy bars?
I do. I mean,
I'll eat fruit candies. Well, you'll eat anything.
Yes, I'll eat anything.
We can see that.
Oh man!
I know he's harsh. For my candy bar, I'm gonna go with the Milky Way Dark, which we've talked about this before, Scott. I think.
Yeah.
The difference with the Milky Way Dark, it has dark chocolate on the outside, but it has a vanilla or white nougat, which I've not really seen in other candy bars, and it's an interesting flavor combination, obviously with the caramel. So that's my top candy bar. So they're gonna be my Mount Rushmore. Huh. It's like three chocolates and pretzels.
Right.
Scott, it's on you, man.
All right. So the first one's easy. I don't know what the order of Mount Rushmore is, but whoever's on the outside facing east, Skittles. I've been a Skittles fan for 30 years. You can't have a bag of Skittles near me without me getting a couple handfuls in there.
Wait. Which Skittle are we going to bring in? You got to specify.
Basic red.
The red flavor is my favorite flavor, but I'm not going. I'm not a wild berry guy. I'm not a sour Skittles guy. I just want the old school classic red bag of Skittles with the Sander flavors.
The sours are good, but they get hard to eat after a little while. Your mouth just becomes
because they're sour. I know. Well, that's the thing about the Skittles that you just go with the one bag and that's enough. It's the perfect size.
Yeah, yeah. I remember we used to get the big pound bag.
Three pound bag from
Sam's Club. Whatever.
Yeah. 3 pounder.
And we'd eat way too many of them and just be
way
sick.
Way too many. All right, so Skittles is number one. For my salty option, I'm going to go with Cheez-Its. I think Cheez-Its have overtaken Cheetos for me recently. I just love the classic, not the extra toasty.
I like the dual here. Your brother's giving you no love on the.
Of course he is. Cheez-Its are amazing. Go buy a bag of Cheez-Its in quarantine.
I got them in the cupboard.
Okay, we have Cheez-Its there.
My
younger
about?
Daughter would be eating along with you with the Cheez-Its, but that to me is a waste of a pick.
My niece loves me. All right, so we got Skittles, we got Cheez-Its. I got to go with, and it made the jump for me this holiday season. And I don't know if you guys have Trader Joe's in Columbia or not, Rhino, but they make the. It's not the candy cane JoJo's as you think I'm going to say, Todd. It's the gingerbread men. The vanilla iced gingerbread men are amazing. Only seasonal. I had to go to several locations in Denver to find boxes once December 26th rolled around. But check it out. It's a white fudge icing gingerbread cookie. Unbelievable. So that's definitely the top cookie. And then I'm going to also stay seasonal with one that goes way back. And I've seen you review these yourself, Rhino, this past Christmas time you did it. But the Christmas tree cake. But the Christmas tree cake from like 15, 20 years ago that was a reasonable size, they have shrunk those things over the years, and it really pisses me off. So,
are you talking about like the Little Debbie?
Little Debbie.
This is zebra cake. Zebra cake with the red and the green.
Those are good.
The sprinkles.
I'm going to tell you what.
Three or four of those are sitting.
As far as Trader Joe's goes, they have some cornbread. They're called cornbread. They're made just like Cheez-Its. They're square, just like, but it's a cornbread flavoring. Mm-hmm. But it's not dry cornbread. It's like a buttery, like a Jiffy cornbread. Sure. It's buttery. That's the only thing I know of at Trader Joe's. We get grain-fed beef and, you know, the other stuff in there. But the cornbread.
So are they crispy or?
Yeah, it's like a cracker. It's a square cracker. It tastes like a buttery cornbread.
That's the best
thing at Trader Joe's.
Okay, I'll check that out.
But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm a snacker. I like Reese's. Reese's are my number one. And I love Snickers with almonds. That's just something. And when you get, if I ever get into candy, these are my guys right here.
Oh, he's got one in the pocket.
Oh, Chewy Lemonheads.
Chewy Lemonheads.
I'm a fan of those too.
Those
are typically 25 cents. So it's a good value on those.
Uh-oh. Good value. And at the dollar stores and Walgreens, I think they have them in the movie theater box. You know, the big box for a buck or $1.25. Way cheaper than at the
movie theater, of course.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna round this up with your Masters / Death Row meal. Now, you can be from somewhere or however you want to do it. Hoffman, I'm gonna start with you. I'll start with myself. Mine's going to be barbecue, and it's going to be all pork. It's going to be like Rodney Scott's barbecue from Charleston, ribs, collards, macaroni, a roll, a gallon of tea, and then banana pudding. It's probably where I'm going. And that, I mean, it won't matter in about 15 minutes later, it won't matter because they're going to light it up. But if I'm at the Masters, that's probably still going to be my same final meal. I'm going barbecue, brisket, ribs, macaroni, collards, beans, hash and rice, banana pudding, and sweet tea. That's where I'm going. Wow. Scott, what you got?
Wait, hold on a second. Does that include like pulled pork with like, are we with a mustard sauce? Or are we doing?
What's your sauce?
You got a whole tray of sauces. You can get pepper vinegar. You can get
It was a chair, Todd.
I know you can. I was wondering if you had a preference. Are you ketchup base, mustard base, vinegar base?
I'm mustard and then pepper vinegar. I'm not North Carolina barbecue. I don't want the ketchup sauce on any of my stuff. That's just a preference.
Fair enough. Marisa's guy. Yeah, fair enough. All right. This answer hadn't changed for me in 25 years. Todd knows what my favorite meal is. My wife thankfully knows what my favorite meal is. I like Hillshire Farm sausage, so I guess I'm technically a pork guy as well. I like macaroni and cheese, specifically Velveeta shells and cheese, because I'm an idiot like that, I suppose.
Cheaper. Child, lowbrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm a man on a budget for most of my life. I got to get a vegetable in there, so I'll throw some peas in there. Canned peas, not frozen peas. Canned peas, please.
I grew up on the canned peas too, man.
There you go. You understand, Del Monte. And then I'm also going to have, for dessert, I'm going to have a big old slice of cherry pie with the crumble on top and a little a la mode, right? With ice cream. Yeah, with ice cream. And then
what you washing it down with?
I'm washing it down with probably a big glass of milk. Let's hit all the vitamin D I can.
Sausage and milk.
The whitest meal in the world.
Hey, this is my death row wish, okay? I'm setting the stage here. So there you go.
I think the guys at the Masters would get dominoes. They'd be like, I'm not doing this milk thing. This ain't the Indy 500, man. Get it out of here.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what you like. If you're your death row, it won't matter to anybody else but you anyway.
That's correct.
Todd, what you doing at Augusta, man? What are you bringing in for Augusta?
I'm not aware of this Augusta tradition. I don't know anything about golf, but
The winner of the Masters the year before picks the meal before the tournament for all the participants. If you win, you get to pick what we're all eating the next year.
It's an interesting honor. I'd heard of this, but that's very bizarre, I think.
Row meal would definitely include pizza, because it is my favorite food.
You got a spot? It'd
probably be from a Pizza Shoals and a pizza place in Portland, which is just very good. Okay. I might also, my favorite foods are all like comfort foods. So I'm a vegetarian, so I'd probably have some veggie hot dogs, because I love hot dogs with a shit ton of yellow mustard on them, because I really like yellow mustard. so probably those two things. This doesn't really go together very well, but these are the things I want to eat before I die.
No.
And then our mom used to make, this is not very fancy, but again, with the peppermint, a peppermint pie, which is basically peppermint ice cream in a sort of a chocolate graham cracker crust. So I'd probably have that for dessert.
Yeah.
And none of these flavors really work together. But then for to drink, I'd probably be having Diet Dew. Or Mountain Dew Zero, which I've now come to like.
Nice.
Hey, man.
Product plug there.
This is definitely death row meals, because we couldn't feed 75 people at Augusta with
no. Numbers.
I mean, with I think idiots. I might get a pass with a barbecue, just a normal barbecue plate. Everybody gets that.
You're in Georgia.
The veggie hot dogs and and pizza and Dew Zero. And then my man up here in the top is going with the milk. I don't know how many people's going with the milk, but
By the way, Todd mentioned pizza.
The Masters, they got to eat it.
Hang on. Todd mentioned pizza. I wanted to point this out to you, Rhino. I watched your earlier broadcast today with the two young kids. Great kids. The one kid mentioned Little Caesars as a place that he would choose to eat I about fell out of my chair when I heard that, much like when last week your boy mentioned Gerald Wallace on his bench of five NBA players. I was like, what is wrong with these people? Nice.
You know, I was thinking, you know, 20-year-olds, a budget, 10 bucks. That's why I threw it out there. And I was thinking that one of them would go Chick-fil-A. I mean, that's the American 20-year-old white guy, spare shoes, Chick-fil-A. And neither one of them said Chick-fil-A, and he went Little Caesars. And I was thinking, well, I guess you get this much pizza for $5, and maybe that's good value. Because if you eat Little Caesars as soon as it comes out the window, it's okay. If you wait 30 minutes, you can eat the box instead because it's cardboard.
That's definitely the quantity play. Definitely, yeah. I would not go quality.
I was really surprised nobody said Chick-fil-A because – I mean, it's $7 for a combo, and that's where everybody ends up going if you look at the parking lot.
And they're everywhere. Everywhere. So I just had to make that comment. That blew me away.
You're going to be the heckler for all future podcasts. You can knock down Gerald Wallace, Little Caesars Pizza.
I'll be there.
Wait, who else was on his team besides Gerald Wallace?
I think he mentioned somebody else.
He was Kobe.
He had Kemba Walker. That's what it was. Who is this guy?
He's from here.
Yeah.
And he lives in Rock Hill now. So he's a big Hornets Bobcats guy. So those are his dogs. That's what I made it. That's fair.
I mean, I had Travis Outlaw on my team. So I can't. You did. Really,
that was deplorable.
He had Bonzi Wells second Wallace off the bench. And then a Plumlee. I'm sure he had a Plumlee in there too.
Oh, man. Not even Mason Plumlee, probably.
And Seth Curry, just dropping Blazer, former Blazers.
Anyway, this has been the Hoffman Brothers Bro Pod. Check them out on Facebook. Scott, shoot it down where you're at on
Bro Pod Network. BroPodNetwork.com. The_bro_pod on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. We're on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, not Google Play, whatever. iTunes, all those places, wherever there are podcasts. Bro Pod with Scott and Todd. Oh, yeah, Google Play. Okay, I did that right. Bro Pod with Scott and Todd is the name. Just search for us. We're coming up on our 100th episode here before too long. We've posted more than 100, but we have kind of specialty episodes every now and again. So I think if we do one this week, it'll be number 89. So we're getting up to that 100 mark. We've done it in a couple of years. That doesn't mean we're good. It just means we got volumes. So. Hey,
it means we're great.
It means you got time on your hands, if nothing else.
There you go.
Y'all check it out. It's a similar rap. You know, Todd's got kids. He has to deal with his life, and Scott's got his own things he has to deal with. And then they bang on each other on teams and food and everything.
A fair amount of food talk.
A lot of food talk. Yeah.
If you enjoy the topics tonight, you will definitely enjoy it.
There you go. For sure. That's a good way to put it.
Appreciate y'all joining. Thanks for having us. Good to see you, Todd. I'll be in touch with you, Scott, because I know I got another one tomorrow with the guy from Gamecock Central and another buddy of mine that coaches baseball at AC4. I'm sure they'll have at least one thing you disagree with. So listen tomorrow. Appreciate y'all. Have a good night. I'll be in touch with y'all.
Thank you.
I'm gonna see y'all.
Thanks, man.
Bye, bud.